is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
In the slot is Reuben Eastman. Now Vincent Cayano, third down, call it three. Big play for E-Hall here. Off the play action, looking to throw towards the end zone. Got a man wide open. Touchdown, Jaden Ballou.
Can we find a kicker, Sims, somewhere over there in Brooklyn at Erasmus Hall High School? If you have a kicker, you win that game going away. And we're not up until 10 after 12. First time in my career I've been at a high school football game, Sims, that was being played after midnight. How you doing? It's great to see you. You're alive and well.
Coach, what time is it? I don't know what's going on. I'm shot. It was an exciting night of football. Absolutely. Two overtime games in a row. Unbelievable way to start the battle for the bridge.
I'm not really sure what bridge
we were battling for, nor do I think anybody deserves it with that special teams showing last night. But, yeah, what a way to start the weekend for Battle of the Bridge.
Let me ask you a question. When I watch this new podcast you have, the first team, they call you Matthew.
That's correct.
Am I calling you something wrong for the last 25 years?
You know what to call me. Batman.
No, you got to stop, man. You'll always be Robin.
There's no way.
Here.
I'm young Batman.
The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one Ford Auto Group in the Northeast with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit us at allamericanford.com. We are coming to you today live from the WRSU 88.7 studios on the campus of Rutgers University. A big thanks to Mike Pavlichko, the great voice of high school football down here in Middlesex County. Had that big Montgomery win last night over Somerville. First time since 07 Montgomery goes to 4-0 on the season. Joe Leo, are you there back in New York, pal?
Yes, I am.
What in the world happened to your alma mater last night in the Erie Bell? What happened?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Joe.
I wish I was doing a little bit better. Middletown got smacked last night. In on Fowler Field, they lost the Erie Bell 33-19. So I wish I was in better spirits this morning. It's a good game by Port Jervis, but once a midi, always a midi.
33-19, Middletown. You have a beautiful stadium up there, Joe, so you at least have that going for you. Hang in there, pal, on the back bench. Harv, hey, it's great to have you. I know we did a lot of stuff leading up to the show. We're going to have a lot of fun here. Couple things. We'll get to it later in the show. There is a new Kenny Pickett down the shore. I'm just saying, Sims.
I found him last night.
So that will come up later in the show. There is some guy out there on Twitterland, Brian Hawkins, is just terrorizing Cavallo. Brian, you better wake up because you got to understand the way this guy talks. When he says they're going up to Don Bosco, Iona Prep, to throw punches, he didn't say they're going up there to throw punches to lose. All right, pal? Wake up. All right? He said they're going up there to throw punches to compete. And Sims, in just a couple minutes, the head coach of the Gales, Joe Spagnuolo, will join us.
Because
people hear what they want to hear. There's not one of us that did not think Iona could go up there and win the game.
Yeah, and listen, I train Johnny Shepherd. I'm really close with his family and him, and a huge fan of Joe Spagnuolo and that whole crew up there. I was even talking with my father before the game started, just excited about the matchup. I didn't think that they had enough horses to score as many points as they did. And the fact that they went down there to Ramsey, New Jersey, and got that W the way that they did is truly unbelievable on so many different levels. Just cannot believe it, honestly. It's just and really credit to just that whole organization. Just a year ago, basically got dominated from start to finish and lost the game 21-7. And to go back the next year and to score 42 points, you know, in the fashion that they did, you know, under the lights on a Friday night game, you know, primetime football in Ramsey. Sabella made them go back, you know, to that home
game
field
again.
The game should have been here at Rutgers. Bosco said, no, we're not doing that. We're playing at home. And listen, they got what they wanted. And, hey, the Gales showed up for the game, too.
They did.
It's really unbelievable.
They brought 2,000 fans to Ramsey.
Yeah.
Give us a call. We have a lot to talk about. Holy Trinity, you would think they were Don Bosco winning the national championship the way they reacted out there. It's great. You know what it is? Holy Trinity comes, plays at the big platform, you know, Rutgers Stadium, and they get a great win. We'll talk about it with Cavallo just a little bit. If he's up, I doubt it. 1-800-919-3776. 1-800-919-3776. Harv, give me a little music to talk about this Gales victory over the Ironmen. So no Ronnie Heath last night for Don Bosco.
Yeah,
tell me about this guy,
right now.
Logan Bush, because he stepped up and played great. Rushed for over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and it's really something that I've noticed here early in this football season that Logan Bush really does have a great jump, and he does a great job of running, you know, really quick and powerful to the line of scrimmage. You know, he has a little bit different pace and style than Ronnie Heath, so when you see him running, you notice it really quickly, obviously, because Ronnie has been just the workhorse of the Ironmen for so long now. But Logan Bush, extremely impressed with this young running back. And really his first year of getting like this first team reps, exciting times for Logan Bush. He's a phenomenal football player.
I guess up there on Wilmot Road, they just continued to talk about 21-7, 21-7. I read some things in Josh Thompson's article in Loha to Johnny, 21-7. That's all we thought about for a year. They fall behind 21-7.
It's amazing. And honestly, the entire offseason, every time I threw with a Johnny Shepherd, when we would break it down as a throwing group, you know, when I would say a Johnny break it down, he would literally say something and then Bosco. So he was literally thinking about it every day during his offseason training, and it showed.
Well, who's teaching a Johnny how to run? Because it ain't you, Sid.
It ain't
because
me,
he
baby.
Hurt him more with his legs last night than his. He had two big late touchdown runs.
I mean, hey, he's 6'3", he's 240 pounds, and he runs a 4.5 40. And the fact that Old Dominion is getting this quarterback is an absolute steal, because he is nowhere near, you know, where he can be a few years from now as far as a football player, as far as a quarterback. This kid is extremely talented, and, you know, just really pleased for him and his performance and his grittiness.
With 108 left in the game, tied at 35, Ajani Shepherd kept the ball. He went 34 yards to the end zone, and with that, a 42-35 victory for Iona. They have not played out of state a lot. They opened this year going out to Ohio, played Archbishop Hoban. They lost that game.
Yeah.
Really with 10 days of preparation.
Yeah, and
I'd like to see them
pretty good.
They did.
Yeah.
You know, up 14-7 late in the half.
Yeah.
Hoban scores, and then they run away with it
right.
Because they just got tired. So, with that said, I called him on the bus ride home last night, and I talked to him during the day, and I said, Coach, if you win, you're on the show. So here he is, Joe Spagnuolo, the ball coach for Iona Prep up there in New Rochelle, New York.
Spags.
How are you, Coach?
Morning, Mike. Morning, Matt. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, how big, when you went up there, obviously the key is to win for Iona Prep, but did you put the mantle of the CHSFL and the state of New York on your shoulder? Did you talk about it with the kids before you went up there?
You know, we don't really talk about stuff like that. You know, we started getting out of state and trying to play more showcase games, really to feature our kids, you know, on the recruiting standpoint. New York kids don't get the benefit of the doubt on recruiting boards. You know, they're going to give the benefit to a kid from Pennsylvania or Ohio or New Jersey. You know, so basically playing these games is just to try to level the playing field and let the college landscape know that, you know, we have players there too.
And coaches, who was one of the football players that, you know, obviously we're talking about Johnny Shepherd and how great he played and how important he is to your program. Who else really, you know, rose to the occasion last night and made a lot of big plays for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of names. But, you know, the guy I want to bring up is definitely Colin O'Garrow, our starting running back. Colin had a high ankle sprain last year, missed half the season, came back for the stretch run. Definitely wasn't 100%, but helped be a catalyst for us to win our first state championship last year. You know, Colin this year has been amazing. He's taking care of his body. He looks great. Kid doesn't have a single offer at this point. It's crazy. So, college coaches, if you're listening, go check the kid out. I mean, he's everything you're looking for in a running back.
When you fall behind 35-28 late in that game, and Ajani gets the first of his two late touchdowns, then you go to Big Z for the two-point try to tie it. Take us through the call. Obviously, you didn't see it. We were working the games at Rutgers. Take us through the call on the two-point conversion to tie it at 35.
Yeah, we've been working on two-point plays for about 3 weeks now. You know, that's always an important thing to make sure you have a couple on your sheets. You know, when we can get Colin, Zion, Capri Martin, our, you know, our scholarship nose guard going to Villanova, when we can get all those guys on the field together, you know, we think we have a pretty good chance of punching it in.
Yeah, and Coach, I mean, just now going forward, how do you just recalibrate? How do you kind of get the troops and rally the troops again for next week's game now? And then obviously, you know, yeah, you get off the schneid, as Mike Quick would say, and beat Don Bosco, you know, but the ultimate goal is to win another state championship game. How do you keep the team focused now going forward after such a emotional win that everyone's been thinking about all year?
Yeah, we're not a finished product yet. We're still very sloppy. It's week three, you know, it's week two, I guess you call week one, week zero. You know, so we're real still early in the process. We still have a lot of fine tuning to do. We don't have our passing game going the way we want it yet. Two of our four starting receivers were out the majority of preseason. So, you know, Johnny and the boys are still getting their timing together. And we're young up front. Our O-line's got two sophomores and a junior starting for us that never played a varsity game before this year. You know, so, you know, we still have a lot of growth on both sides of the ball. And there's plenty of things on film that we're going to go back and look at and hopefully correct and fix going forward.
Down 21-7 early, Coach Joe Spagnuolo, Iona Prep up there in New Rochelle, talking about their big 42-35 victory over Don Bosco last night. Down two touchdowns early. What'd you say to the guys when you fell behind 21-7?
Not much. We just, you know, we just kept playing. You know, we learned a lot from the Hoban game in week zero. You know, obviously we went there, took a 10-hour trip, spotted a team, a 17-day head start, two games and whatnot. We definitely didn't have our legs under us, but we quit a little bit in the second half there. And we kind of vowed to each other that we're never going to do that again. And that's something, frankly, we've never really done at Iona. We never quit, you know, whether we're up or down. So, you know, that was kind of the mantra going in, that no matter what happened last night, we weren't going to quit. We were going to stay together. We wouldn't finger point. We'd have each other's back. And that's what the boys did.
Coach, congratulations on the great win. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable for your program to go over there to Ramsey and get this W. You know, and just, I guess, another thing, just kind of spotlight another football player for us, you know, defensively that you thought came up clutch late in the game that made a few plays for us.
Yeah, Adonde Nardi, our safety, had an interception late in the game. Terrence Walden, our returning starting safety, he had an interception that was a huge, huge play also. In that fourth quarter, those guys really stepped up. You know, the Bosco passing game was hitting on all cylinders in the first half, and they could have buried their heads and kind of went home. But, you know, they had the mental fortitude to stick with it and kind of get through it. And they obviously made huge plays down the stretch for us.
Did you hear from a lot of alums after the game?
Oh, my God. I mean, when I got off the phone, I think I had 82 text messages and 35 emails and, yeah, I mean, you know what happens? We're in a world now that even if you're not at the game, people are watching the streams, you know. So, you know, it's not something that happens the next day when people read the morning paper. They're turning the streams on their cell phones or, you know, at their house. They're having watch parties. So, you know, people are watching high school football even if they're not at the games, which is a real cool new kind of new phenomenon that's going on in our area.
Did you hear from John Mara, owner of the Giants?
No, John hasn't called me yet, no.
What's he doing? No.
Come on, John.
I mean, come on, John. Did you hear from Frank Mara?
No, nothing yet from the Maras.
What are we doing?
Man,
I guess they're riding high off that victory last yeah. week. Okay, Coach, I'm going to ask you the toughest question anybody's ever asked you. At 5 o'clock today on MSG Plus, Matthew Sims and Jimmy Cavallo will be on the call of your arch rival, Archbishop Stepanak, taking on DePaul. Who will Coach Spagnuolo and the Gales be rooting for today?
I'll be honest with you. Obviously, I have a lot of close friends at Stepanak. You know, I coached there for 10 years, had a great 10 years there under Coach O'Donnell. But Coach Campanile is a good friend of mine as well over at DePaul. So, you know, I wish them both a great game. And
answer the question. Answer the question, Coach.
Answer
the question.
I'm a high school football coach. I don't root for anybody. Come on.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what we're going to be rooting for. The MSG crew is going to be rolling into Stepanak on October 8th. We'll have the Iona Prep Stepanak game. So excited to see that. Best of luck along the way. And congratulations on a great win for you, the alums, the league, the state. Way to go, Coach Spagnuolo.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Okay.
See you, Coach.
Couldn't do it. Could not. I've been saving that question. That was a good question.
It was very good. It was fantastic.
Good question. Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of highlight just a few of the other players that he mentioned there at the end because it is something that obviously we look at the quarterback, and with me, obviously, my relationship with the quarterback there at the school. But you could just see that it was a total team win, and they played tough late, made a lot of opportunistic football plays. And, you know, in high school football, just how important that is to just steal momentum. And a great win. And again, 2 weeks in a row where Don Bosco is just giving up way too many points for a team that is supposed to be, you know, potentially a state championship contender. I mean, 42, and then they gave up, what was it, 35 to St. Joe's?
35 to St. Joe's.
And St. Joe's isn't exactly, I would say, like a well-oiled machine yet offensively.
I'm picking that game later, Sims.
So really kind of concerning for Bosco. They have a lot of talent on their team. They really need to tighten up the ship a little bit for them to make this run in the championship.
Well, they don't have a lot of time because they're rolling into Oradell on a week from today to take on Bergen Catholic.
Yeah, the schedule is absolutely crazy.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jimmy Cavallo, and you and Jimmy called one of the wildest high school football games ever played.
Which one?
Immaculata versus Holy Trinity from Hicksville, Long Island. Len Parisi is on the line. He's a big Holy Trinity fan. We'll talk to him after the break.
All right.
There were 1,100 combined yards of offense in the game. Renone, the quarterback, down 8. Gets him in the end zone on a 10-yard touchdown run to send it to overtime. He needs to complete this. We'll take a break as Jimmy Cavallo gives you the Titan big moment, tying it at 39.
Holy Trinity, in a game that has featured 76 points and over 1,000 yards. It's either overtime or a victory for Immaculata. Here's Rocco looking, Rocco towards the end zone. They got it! It's a curtain call for the Titans. Holy Trinity has tied the game at 39. Fantastic finish at the Battle for the Bridge. New York and New Jersey are deadlocked at 39 apiece.
Lenny from Holy Trinity, fire away, buddy. We were going after each other on Twitter last night. Hit me, pal. Your son's a hell of a player.
Hey, thanks a lot. We're in the car right now. I got number 56, my son, Nick Parisi. Number 7, Josiah Brown. We're heading up to Syracuse for a game visit. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on my guy, Jameer Reeder, running back, Holy Trinity. I've been saying, if you follow me on Twitter, I've been saying it, he's the top 2024 running back in New York State. What were your thoughts on his game and my boy, Rocco Renone, coming back and leading us to the victory?
Lenny, here, I wanted to talk to Sims about this, okay? The one problem I have with Rocco, okay, and it's hard to have a problem when he comes back the way he does, but that's one of the most bizarre football games you've ever seen. Holy Trinity turned the ball over on fumbles 4 times. 2 were returned for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Immaculata didn't have a turnover. I think Rocco needs to come to Sims Complete. No, and here's why. Because he has a serious he has trouble with the exchange, when to pull it, when to give it.
That's something that, listen, I'm not going to be able to fix that issue. I mean, I can teach it, but at the end of the day, that really was just one of those things where they're making it too complicated than they need to. And I want to go to Jameer Reeder here,
dude.
Just like what he mentioned.
Yeah,
that is an absolute dude. I made the comparison that he is like an Austin Eckler type football player out there because he is smooth, he's low to the ground, he's making great cuts. I mean, and running with power, too, for a small runner, only 170 pounds. And, man, I was extremely impressed with his ability to push the pile and move forward on every play. I would say that he only had 2 plays that he only maybe gained like less than 3 or 4 yards. Other than that, every play was about 4 or 5 or rip. And there was a few explosive plays. Super impressed with Jameer Reeder. Just a fantastic football player.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know who's looking at him right now, but – you know, there's got to be a lot of school. Like Patriot League, if you're not on this kid right now, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. This kid is going to be like all league Patriot League.
No doubt.
You know, you got to offer this kid.
Lenny, you said Anthony Brown is in the car with you, right? Can we put him back up? Call the show back, Len. I need to talk to Anthony. He's the fastest dude in the state of New York. How did he get caught from behind? Because it was the fastest dude from the state of New Jersey who caught him. What do you have there, Sims?
Josiah Brown.
Josiah Brown. Yeah, oh, that's Josiah Brown.
For Holy Trinity. Anthony Brown plays for Immaculata.
Oh, there you go. Looking at the wrong. Thank you, Sims.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Why you do the show. Lenny, call back. I need to talk to Josiah to see how he got caught.
Well, listen, he got caught by another guy who is on the top of the list of sprinting in the state of New Jersey by Anthony Brown. So, yeah, the two Browns, obviously, they were running. They were moving fast in the football field. I think Anthony just had a good angle. You know, other than that, though, Josiah Brown showed out, played phenomenal. Yeah. And Andre Curtin, another guy that performed extremely well for the Holy Trinity football team last night. And then I just can't get over, too, just the fact of how physical and how big Holy Trinity looked on the football field.
They should be in the AAA division.
They should be in the AAA division. And honestly, they were the way better football team yesterday than Immaculata.
No
the
doubt.
Sloppy play by Rocco, you know, hey, he overcame it late in the game.
That's what winners do, Sims.
He absolutely did. He played tough. He played gritty. But that was one of those things where, you know, trying to be too cute in the backfield with reading the defensive end. The defensive end was running directly at him the entire night. Mm-hmm. Hand the football to Jameer Reeder and move on.
When See, it's Sims, not that's obvious, what I was trying to get out of you. I got you going now.
Yeah, but at the same time, like you don't need me to coach you that. That's
no,
just common
but
sense.
What I'm saying is any quarterback that really wants to do this past high school, they're foolish not to reach out to Sims Complete QB.
I get that, and we'll get to that too. But, you know, biggest thing is like as a ball carrier, right, when you are making that read on the defensive end, you know, 75% of the time, just hand the football off.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's clear and obvious and it's the defensive end is crashing down the line of scrimmage, then you pull it and you make them pay. You know, it's very simple, but don't try to, you know, create plays and force plays to happen. And this is why they almost literally handed the game off to Immaculata. Martin Wontong with the great recovery and run for a touchdown for a 70-yard play. He played phenomenal for Immaculata. Cameron Chadwick, Joseph Fleming ran the ball extremely well for Immaculata. Didn't see him late in the game. Not sure exactly what happened. He might have gotten injured. Cole Hayden, another good football player. William Grabko, the linebacker for Immaculata, played fantastic. Jackson Lobb, I mean, Immaculata's got a lot of good football players, and it was an impressive showing for them.
And so does Trinity, and I want to mention one of them. It was pretty cool to see Dylan Braithwaite get a touchdown at his future home, Rutgers, and then he went to the ground a little bit later in the game. He messed up his shoulder, so hopefully Kamal Roy and the Titans get him back.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what.
And Chris Bacon to the defensive end for Trinity,
number 11. Love him.
Super impressive-looking football player. Him and Briggs were everywhere on the football field. They are definitely going to be really good football players at the next level. Not really sure if Briggs is an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, but he is, you know, like I said last night, like a creative player in Madden football. You go in there and you add all the attributes up and, like, you know, try to look a certain way. He is like the prototypical, like, creative football player.
All right, Harv, hit it. Jets High School Player of the Week is fueled by Gatorade. And each week during the high school football season, the Jets and Gatorade will honor a Player of the Week. The player will receive a $1,000 donation from the Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football program. And I guess the Jets were listening to the show last week, Sims, because this week's Player of the Week, Rowan Johnston from Trumbull High School, plays for the great Mars Petrasio in that wild 49-43 victory over Massac last week. The 5'8", 165-pound junior, who they did not play a COVID season in Connecticut, and last year on like the third play of the season, broke his wrist. So in his first real varsity game coming out of the backfield, he didn't score one, Sims. He didn't score two. Count with me, Sims. He didn't score three.
He didn't score three.
Not four.
Four.
Not five. Not six. But in his first varsity game as a running back, he scored 7 touchdowns. So that is pretty cool. Got the game winner with 1 second left from a yard out as they win the game 49-43, and I know Jimmy Cavallo is a huge
amazing. 7 touchdowns.
Amazing. Now, Massac was down by 20 in the game. They came back, took the lead. and then they come right down the field. The quarterback brings them down three plays. Boom, they jump in the end zone.
What a performance.
All right, Harv, you could kill that music, and I know.
Just a quick shout-out, too, to go back to the Immaculata game just for one second.
Sure.
I just want to say just Mason Geis, Immaculata quarterback. Okay, we're going to go back to him? All right.
Well, because we're going to bring Jimmy on.
Okay, I mean, you know.
Sorry.
Kid is 14 years old.
Jimmy? Jim, how you
Maybe,
doing, buddy?
At heart.
Jimmy, you there?
Rutgers, could you imagine Quick and Sims walking across campus this morning at 7 o'clock
in the
morning? It
was the walk of shame for sure for us this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Quick looks like everybody's history professor, and Sims looks like Rodney back to school. They're like, look at this guy. I think he's in my history class.
I was like Van Wilder. I've been in college for 10 years.
Hey, Jim, you were funny when we're walking out of there. You stole one of my lines during that Erasmus game. No need for goalposts because you can't kick it. So
Bizarre. Think about it. The final touchdown of the game was the 10th touchdown of the night. The two teams were a combined 0-9 on the conversion going into that final two-pointer that finally ended the night as Rock Creek really stunned Erasmus Hall. Erasmus Hall had a feel they were the better team the whole night. But Rock Creek, you know what they came with? They came with some competitive fire and some players.
Well, and you know what Erasmus came with? I think maybe too much bravado after that really competitive loss last week to St. Joe's Philly, 14-7. Because you can't win a football game, Sims, when you're penalized 16 times for 157 yards. You can't win.
No, you definitely can't. And there's a lot of sloppy play by Erasmus. And I just can't get over the fact, too, really on both teams, like delay of games on a kickoff. Like, how is that even possible? Go out there, get set, and kick the football off, men. I mean, I don't know what was going on at times. Just the lack of awareness by some of the football players and the coaches. I won't even say the football players, the coaches. I mean, guys, like, wake up. You're at Rutgers Stadium. You know, sharpen up, tighten up the ship, and put a good product out there. Now, luckily, the football players were so talented that they overcame some very questionable play calling in both games. But, yeah, Rock Creek, congrats to them. We won't see them the rest of the year, but it was extremely fun to call that game and to see them play because there's a lot of good football players that we will see at the next level.
You know who's really fast? We talked about it last night. Not only can run fast, but he can type his numbers into the phone fast. Josiah Brown is now with us. Josiah, it's Mike and Matt and Jimmy. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. All right, you know we're having some fun because you can fly. How'd you get caught, man? Sim says he had an angle on you. Is that true?
Yeah, he did have an angle on me, but it's all good. I just went on to the next play.
My man.
That's right.
Hey, Josiah, you know, when you look at your team, you got a bunch of dudes there. When you came onto that field at SHI Stadium yesterday, I said to myself, that doesn't look like a double-A football team coming out of Hicksville. Do you guys wish you were playing up in the triple-A this year with all that talent you have?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we could compete with some older triple-A teams, but we're just going to take them one step at a time.
Josiah Brown yesterday, four catches, 154 yards in the thrilling 45-42 victory in overtime against Immaculata. You're heading up. You and Parisi are heading up to Syracuse today. Just give us a little breakdown. I know a whole bunch of schools are after you. Just throw a couple of schools that you're really – there are a lot of them are interested in you. Which ones are you really interested in right now as a junior?
I'm really interested in Rutgers, Notre Dame, Penn State, Syracuse, Georgia. I'm actually interested in, like, all of them. I want to go on a lot of visits and see what the schools are about.
Good for you, Josiah.
Josiah, you should enjoy this experience. It is, you know, once-in-a-lifetime experience. The fact that all those schools are interested in you as a football player, as a person, is just a tremendous, you know, honor, right, for you and for your family. But, Josiah, for you as a player, do you prefer offense or defense? You know, what are you looking to play at the next level? Where is your love for the game lie? On which side of the football?
I like both sides of the ball, but I think I'm leaning more to the receiver side.
Yeah.
But if it happens that I end up playing defense, then it's whatever, you know.
Josiah, how's your buddy Brathwaite feeling today?
Uh, he's in good spirits. You know, we're keeping him up there. He suffered a tough injury, but we're going to make sure that he gets healthy.
All right, good. Well, listen, we're going to enjoy the day up at Syracuse. You and Parisi, enjoy that day. Have fun. Enjoy your visits. And we're going to have you guys again. We'll be out at Holy Trinity, the MSG crew, for your Chaminade game on October 22nd. So we'll definitely see you again. So keep balling out until then.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, guys.
That.
Lenny, drive safe. You got a lot of good college material in that car.
I've never seen you get stumbled like
that. No, I know. It's so funny.
But, yeah, Josiah Brown, really fantastic football player. I'm curious to see where he does fall, you know, as far as receiver or defensive back. He's extremely talented football player. And that was kind of cool about the Holy Trinity team. Other than Dylan Breathway, I would say that the majority of the players were great two-way football players. And that'll be really the big decision for them after they do kind of find their home school-wise. Where are they going to play, you know, the next 4 years of their college career at? Josiah Brown, super talented on both sides of the football. I mean, of course, I'm always going to say lean to receiver, man. Get that football in your hands and go run with it.
Handled the questions great, too. He had no idea that he was going to be on the show this
morning. I mean, yeah, just an outstanding young man. I've been super impressed with guys like him, Josiah Brown, right? Jimmy Mullen a week ago, just such high character kids.
You better
you can
be
hear.
Care because he beat you up when you were in eighth grade. He sent out those tweets. I'm going to talk about Mullen a little later in the show. Jim, you're still with us. That Holy Trinity game. Was sorry.
Are you still there?
That was fantastic. I mean, to hear JB, that was fantastic. I just got to clean one thing up for Sims. Sims, remember, Reader has a lot of interest in the Ivy League. He's a principal's list kid, right. Very difficult status to make academically at Holy Trinity. And also Villanova. Coach Mark Ferrante has expressed some interest in Reader. Remember, I made the point.
He hasn't offered him yet, though,
reminds me a little
correct?
Bit of Michael Westbrook. Does Reader, and I mean, listen, Mike, you might want to send your buddy Jay Wright a text, because you know Jay Wright is everything Villanova, a little bit of that Hofstra synergy. Send the text to Kamal Roy, get the synergy going between Villanova football and Reader, because Reader's no secret on Long Island. He grew up a youth football legend, and he's really close to 180 pounds now, and wow, he was special last night.
He hits it. He gets inside those tackles pretty good. Jim, that's a great idea. I will reach out to Coach Wright. He's got time. He can take my calls now. He ain't coaching anymore, so he can do that, and we got to get
what
him
a disaster.
To your alma mater. The Holy Trinity game, we said it, and we got to go. 1,100 total yards, 310 yards of penalties. The game lasted 3 hours and 33 minutes. So I give you guys the fact that both of you called an overtime game and a double overtime game, just to put it in perspective, they were on the air for 7 hours and 8 minutes. They never went off the air. So kudos to you and the crew yesterday for getting that on the air. Jim, real fast, if it's possible, St. Joe's, St. Anthony's tonight at 8 o'clock, MSG Plus. You looking forward to it?
I am, Mike. You know, it's sort of a throwback to when we were doing this 20 years ago. They've played four times in their history. You know, you had the two legendary coaches, Richie Reichert and Tony Carsage. But the last time they played, you got to go all the way back to 2001. And that was 49-7 St. Joe's. That's the bad news for St. Anthony's. And a lot of times people think, hey, you've never beat St. Joe's. But they did. It was just the year before in 2000. St. Anthony's won 35-16. They've played four times. The overall series is 3-1 St. Joe's. You know, St. Joe's now, it's sort of life after Luke Henrich. You know, the Lehigh-bound senior quarterback is out for the year. And here comes Broadway Joe Gaston, the super sophomore. Big spot for Joe Gaston, because St. Anthony's has also some retro, old-school, high-level Power 5 talent on this Friars roster. And listen, can the movement continue? Iona Prep beating Don Bosco, and now here we go. St. Anthony's, you're on the clock.
Well, we are tied at 2. Holy Trinity, Iona Prep have won on the New York side of the bridge. Paramus Catholic got off the schneid after 18, beat Chaminade last night, 21-20, and Morris Catholic rolled over St. Peter's of Staten Island. So we are tied at 2. Harv, we are going to break in just a second. Last night out in Suffolk, big boy football. Longwood jumped up early, held on to win 23-20. Big night for Terrence Robinson for Longwood. 34 carries, 271 yards on a touchdown. But the one that gave him the 13-0 lead was quarterback Kalib Corbett to Mason Hauser, the tight end. Here's how it sounded on Varsity Media with my man, Dylan Butler.
Corbett, look at this play. Gets a man in motion. There is Hauser. Breaks a tackle. Hauser dives towards the end zone and scores.
That Rutgers kick at 2 o'clock in just a bit. They kick in about 5 hours. A little housekeeping here, Sims. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one Ford Auto Group in the Northeast with locations throughout New Jersey and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Visit allamericanford.net. And the High School Show, of course, we have so many sponsors, Sims. It's got to be because of you. On 98.7 ESPN is presented by Spectrum Mobile. Spectrum Mobile has the most reliable service coast to coast. Plus, 5G is included at no extra cost. Switch and save today. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. 2 o'clock down in Philly. Rutgers looks to go to 3-0 against Temple. If they win, they come back home to the banks at 3-0 and would take on Iowa in their first Big Ten game of the season.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time for Rutgers. Congratulations on a great start to the season. And, hey, keep it rolling today versus Temple and go into that Big Ten schedule undefeated.
All right, Harv, switch up the music. Here we go. We're ripping around the tri-state, Sims.
Oh, here we go.
Woodridge, Joe Catrona. Big win last night. Beat Park Ridge. First time Park Ridge has lost at home in the last 5 years.
That a boy, Joey.
Snapped an 8-game skid against Park Ridge. He's in his second year building a culture. Brandon Negro, the senior quarterback, bad knee. Didn't matter. Didn't have to throw it far. He said, hey, let me just flick it out there to Vladimir Schultz, the big tight end. 65 yards. They win it. He wrote this song about my picks.
Hey, I went undefeated last week. What are you talking about? Yeah, so you can't even admit it. You're such a hater, Mike. I'm so tired of this. I quit. Nah, I'm kidding. I have too much fun.
Well, he wrote that song about me because I am rolling along, even though you did beat me last week. 2-0 to 2-1. So Sims on the year.
Keep chopping.
Is up 3-0 to 3-1. But we're about to change that because my picks on 98.7 ESPN are built by the Lantech Group. Marty Lyons and the boys out there, who is a huge fan of yours. He watches the show and listens to the show.
Let's go, Marty. Get me
back
on the Jets.
Harv, here we go. Give me some music. Battle for the Bridge. 4 games today at Rutgers. I am not picking the Curtis game. That's a 2 o'clock game. They're playing from somebody out of the area. I don't know about St. Mary's. But I do know about St. Anthony's and St. Joe's Regional. 8 o'clock kick, MSG Plus. You and Caballo will be on the game. You will not pick it. Quick thought.
Here, I'll take Curtis just because I'm not taking the other two games. So I'll go with Curtis even though I have no idea who the hell they're playing.
Okay.
The St. Joe's, St. Anthony's game. St. Joe's, you're in trouble, man. You just lost your starting quarterback. You were just start to hit your groove offensively. And now, right, you have a chance against a really good football team to start the season 0-3. Bad situation. St. Anthony's is a tough football team. Do not underestimate this football team led by Dante Torres.
What you see now in the black and gold is a different team from the Rich Riker years when they were built on line play.
Right.
Today, they have athletes. Torres, Duff, Jenkins. They lit Chaminade up, but this
it's
ain't
like
Chaminade that they're playing today. All right, this is big boy football today, okay? And they better find a way to stop Jimmy Mullen, the kid that was in eighth grade, beat you up. If this thing turns into a track meet, St. Joe's can't win it. In order for St. Joe's to win this game for the first time this year, they have to play defense with their offense. And they will, but it won't matter. Track meet. I like St. Anthony's to beat St. Joe's today.
Wow. All right. New York.
At 5 p.m., Joe Spagnuolo and the Gales will all be sitting in the bunker at Iona, and they'll be rooting for Stepanek. Okay? They will be. Stepanek 2-0 against 0-2 DePaul. Very interesting game. Who is DePaul? We don't know. Who is Stepanek? We really don't know. They've had 2 wins against, you know, not great teams.
Yeah.
All right? We do know this. Will Currid, the quarterback, is special, and you'll see him firsthand today because he is really, really good.
It really is going to be the matchup of two really good up-and-coming quarterbacks with Will Currid and Patrick Grusser on the other side. Jack Grusser's younger brother, the signal caller for DePaul Catholic, really good young football player. Offensive line play has been sketchy so far earlier in the season. We'll see if Stepanak can create a lot of pressure in the backfield.
Harv, hit me with some music, man. I get into it. 5 p.m. MSG Plus. You and Cavallo will be on that game, too. DePaul has opened the season with losses to St. Joe's and St. Peter's Prep. And now today, they lose to Stepanak. So New York is going up 2-0 in this.
You traitor.
Monsignor Farrell, 1-1, Hudson Catholic. This guy, Jacob Rodriguez, for Hudson Catholic is really good. The running backs had a good year. Chris Long keeps people off balance. It's a shame Monsignor Farrell doesn't have Messiah Birch. He's hurt.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Monsignor Farrell is going to beat Hudson Catholic.
The
and
island.
The final game tomorrow morning at 11 that I'll pick. Cardinal Hayes 0-1, Sunday at 11. You and Cavallo on the call against Pope John. Richie Beilein, the quarterback, the sophomore. You like him a lot. Can they beat Pope John?
I think they can, but Pope John, just with their game experience and Sean Lyon just being an absolute havoc on the defensive side of the football, and also, too, with his one-hand catch for a 60-yard touchdown a week ago versus Paramus Catholic, the game-changing play of the moment, I think Sean Lyon and that defense may be just a little bit too much game experience here early in the season for Cardinal Hayes to be able to prepare.
Dietrich, the quarterback's got to get with Sims complete. I like the way he throws. He's just off balance too much. Tyreek Hill, Sean Lyon. I like Pope John to win that game, and I think Pope John is going to get 6 regular season wins this year. Cardinal Hayes early in the year, they're never right, but they will be. The picks of the week are built by the Landtech Group, the leader in design, construction, and maintenance of athletic fields and facilities throughout the East Coast, specializing in synthetic turf, natural grass, concrete, fencing, and more. Visit them at landtechgroup.com. Sims, that's it. Go get some rest. You're back on the air at 5. The first two games, Eddie Kalegi and Dave Maluski will handle it on MSG+. Enjoy your football Saturday. Go Rutgers. And when you're not watching the RU game, hit us on MSG+. Great job, Sims.
Keep chopping.